to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We are going to open up God's Word, and we will ask the Lord's blessing so that we will learn from His Word. So before we turn to the passage or the passages that we'll be considering this morning, I'll just ask you to bow for another word of prayer, please. Our Father, we are so delighted that we know Thee and Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful to Thee for sending Him into this world to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary, to give us eternal life. And this eternal life gives us then a place in Thy presence, not only here on earth, but when we get to heaven, as we have been singing. So while here on earth, our hearts are encouraged to know that the Son of God loved us and gave Himself for us. We thank Thee for everyone that's gathered. And as we open up Thy Word, we pray that the Holy Spirit Himself will explain Thy Word to us, and that at the end of our meeting, we will leave this place refreshed, renewed in our minds, committed to serve Thee until Thou shouldst come. We give Thee thanks again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to share with you this morning a topic which I've shared before, maybe not too long ago. And this topic has been on my mind again. And I think it's so important and it's so relevant, and it's relevant for all times under all circumstances. And some of you may have been here when I shared it, but I always believe, and I've always said it, that in order to live a successful life here on earth, we must always keep our faith intact. Because no matter what happens, as we travel back and forth, things will happen, but we must move on. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord to move on. And our happiness or unhappiness depends upon how we encourage ourselves in the Lord. It is good for others to encourage us. And we have a duty to encourage one another. But we also have an obligation to ourselves to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because when all is said and done, that's the only thing that will count in this life. So back then I talked about how to effectively overcome or handle discouragement. And the definition of discouragement, or one of the definitions, is lack of courage or lack of hope, or being disheartened, or a feeling of hopelessness, or even feeling depressed. It's a certain anxiety that comes into one that causes that person, depending on the level of anxiety, not to be able to function effectively. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read a few verses there. Chapter 4 of Philippians, and we'll read, well, it's going to start at 6, but let's start at verse 4. It says here, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." And here is the key verse, or two verses, verses 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace," or let's read as it's stated, "and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And if you recall, see, whatever we do, we pray, or we should pray. You know, we go back to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in that the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So if we use that as a backdrop, and we relate it to what we read here, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then we have first mentioned here why we should not be careful for anything. In other words, not to become overly anxious or be so taken up with a thing that we don't take time to pray. So we should pray. Praying is talking to God, the believer talking to God, the believer asking God to do something for them. And then, when we talk about the supplication, it is emphasized prayer, where the thing that you're praying is such of importance, it takes on a whole new meaning. So you go before God, and you pour out your heart to God, asking him for the thing which you stand in need of. And after you've done that, then you give thanks. See, we don't have to wait until God gives us what we're asking for to give thanks. We should give God thanks after we've prayed. So if you notice, most of the times when we pray, after we pray, as we are ending it, we give God thanks. Now, when we gather here on a Sunday morning, such as we've gathered, and we have worshiped, we came here for the purpose of giving God thanks only, not to pray and ask God for anything. We came here to worship the Lord. So we're giving him thanks for what he has done. What he has done in terms of paying for our sins on the cross of Calvary. So that's why we meet this morning. That's why we've met. And that's why we follow what God has asked us to do. It is to remember him in such a simple way as we have already done. And now we come to open up the Word of God, to learn from it, to encourage ourselves, individually ourselves and each other. So we pray because sometimes we don't have a particular urgent need, so we pray. But when we have an urgent, pressing need, we still pray, but our prayer is more emphasized, it is more magnified as we cry out and bear our souls before God, and that's called supplication. And then we give him thanks for what we've asked. And why do we do it then? Because we do it in faith. And what is faith as described in Hebrews? It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, when we pray to God and we ask him for something, we believe, based on the word of God, that God is going to give it to us according to his will. He will give it to us. Therefore, it is just as though we have already received it, therefore we thank God for it. And that's where the thanksgiving will come in. So it is important for us to remember these things. But look at the result. When we follow what is written in verse 6, by being, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we do that, then the result will be what is written in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Some people, when they get into such situations or bad situations that they cannot deal with it, they don't have the peace. They do not have that peace which passeth all understanding. How do you remain calm under fire? Not too many people can do that. The Christians can do it. And why can the Christians do it? Because the Christian knows the God of peace. You know, it is so important. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He gives us the peace which passeth all understanding. He keeps our minds firm. He keeps us secure in the knowledge that we can do all things through Him who gives us the strength. He keeps us secure in the knowledge that without Him, we can do nothing. So dependency is on the Lord. And it's important for all of us to remember that. Whether you're a Christian or not, it is important for you to understand that. Because if you're not a Christian and you don't understand that, then life is very difficult for you. You will go through the same things that other people are going through. The problems and everything else associated with it. But how you deal with it will be different to those who know the Lord, whose faith is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, understand this. I've said before that the greatest faith that I believe anyone can place, the greatest faith, and for me it is true, the greatest faith that I could place in anything or that I have placed, I placed it in a person. The greatest faith that I have placed in my life, I placed it in a person. And who is that person? The Lord Jesus Christ. And how did I do that? I accepted Him as my own personal Savior. I realized that I was a sinner, and I was on my way to hell. That when the Lord Jesus Christ came back, whether I am dead or alive, I have to deal with the question of where I was going to spend eternity. I had to deal with that question. And there's one of two places. Can be both. Either I was going to spend eternity in heaven, enjoying the presence of the Lord, and being happy forevermore, or I was going to spend eternity in hell, in the place of torment, being destructive over and over again without end. So I was faced with this choice. Either heaven or hell. This is the choice I had. Then I placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked Him to come into my life and to save me. And why did I do that? Because the Bible says, if I do that, as recorded in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So on the authority of God's word, I place my trust, I place my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I entrusted my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into my heart and to save me. And He did. So this is the greatest faith. So after placing this greatest faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that I'm going to heaven, then anything that happens to me in this life is secondary to this primary faith that I have placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it makes it a little easier then for me to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to handle the problems that I will encounter in life. And it makes it easier not only for me, but for all the Christians who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to deal with the problems of this life. I know a lot of people are worried. A lot of people are worried about what's going on around the world, the terrorism and the economy and everything. And people are losing their homes. They can't pay the mortgage. And people are losing jobs. And they're worried about that. You know, I read somewhere in my Bible, my God shall supply all my needs, not some, all my needs according to His riches in glory. So it doesn't matter whether a Republican is ruling the White House or a Democrat is ruling the White House. It does not matter because my sufficiency is in Christ. And some of you have lived for a long, long time, and you have lived under various administrations, various presidents. You lived in tough times, you lived in times not so tough, but God always provided for you. Doesn't matter who is there. God always provided. That's the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will take care of us. See, I don't need much. And I've said it sometime before. I don't need much. I just need my needs to be supplied. I don't have to have an abundance of things. Never have an abundance of things. Just my needs. God will take care of my needs. You know, we go back to our Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. And you can read that whole chapter. And then you get down to about verse 33 in the Gospel of Matthew. And this was the Lord Jesus Christ in His early ministry as He was talking to His disciples and those who came around to listen to Him. And He started in, after the temptation in chapter 4, the temptation of Satan going to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to turn stones into bread and all the other temptations. And then after that, chapter 4, you get into chapter 5, and you start dealing with the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemaker, and blessed are they that mourn, and so on and so forth. And you keep reading, and chapter 6 continues with it as he started his early teaching and telling them what they should be concerned about in this life. And when he talked about the lilies of the field, that they don't do anything, and yet the Lord takes care of them. And then he talks about the Christians, he talks to his disciples, and he says, aren't you more important than these? Are you not more than these? And if the Heavenly Father takes care of the grass, today it is and tomorrow it's not, or is cut and is thrown into the fire and is burnt, if the Lord takes care of them, are you not greater than the lilies? Are you not greater than the grass? Are you not greater than the flower of the field? Then wouldn't the Lord take care of you more so than these other things? And it's evident that he will, because he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary to redeem us and to give us hope. So if you are not saved, this is to explain to you why then the Christian, in spite of all the problems that we are facing, we live in the same world, in spite of all the problems, the Christian can have faith. The Christian can have hope. The Christian can be at peace. Because it comes from the Prince of Peace. He will keep our hearts and our minds stayed on him. You know, there is a verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The latter part of the verse, you will read the following. For he hath said, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What more can we ask for? He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He would not cut us off. And if you want something that is more direct and more stunning, you can then go to the Gospel according to St. John, and you can go to chapter 15 and verse 30, where he says, and we should read it. Let us read it so that we don't misquote it. It's such an important verse, and so many don't quite understand it. I'm not talking about us here, but in other areas. That is in chapter 10. Chapter 10 of John, I'm sorry. Chapter 10. And verse 27. Chapter 10, verse 27. What I wanted to quote was 10 and 30, but we'll get down to 30. Chapter 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when you take this verse and you tie it in with Hebrews 13 and verse 5, for he hath said, I shall never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He will not turn us over to someone else. He has saved us. He has sanctified us. He has justified us. And he is going to be with us until the end of the age, from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. He will be with us. No man, no matter how hard the devil tries, no matter what human beings try to do, no one will be able to pluck us out of the Savior's hand. That's cause for rejoicing. That's cause for hope. That's cause for saying, thank you, God. Thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for what you have done for me. Regardless of what happens, you are making intercession for us. You will not forsake us. You will not leave us. Very important fact in the Christian life, because some who say they are Christians also believe that they could lose their salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. Our salvation is secure. Now, I want to bring you to one verse of Scripture. Let's say about three verses. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 23, please. Please turn. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and we are going to read a few verses beginning at verse 14. It reads in verse 14 of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 23, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." Now, I can't elaborate too much, but Saul was the king, mighty King Saul. And Saul is looking for David because he wants to kill David. You can read the previous chapters, you'll get an understanding of what's going on, but sufficient for us at this time. Here is the king looking for a young man that he wants to kill. And he wants to kill him mainly because he was jealous of him. So he wants to kill him. And look at what is read. It's written here. "And Saul sought him every day." It's not just Saul sought him. Saul sought him every day. Do you understand what it means that somebody is looking for you every day to kill you? This is not an easy thing. Every day, Saul is looking for him to kill him. But let's go on. "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness in Ziph, in a wood." So he's hiding in the wood. Verse 16. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God." Do you see how God provides? "My God shall supply all your need." David was in need of encouragement. But look at who is bringing the encouragement. The king's son. Do you understand? The king's son. The king is trying to kill David. His very son goes and finds David in the wood where he was hiding and encourages David's heart in God. I call that external encouragement. External meaning that is coming from somebody else to you. And that's what we are about. That's what we ought to do, to encourage each other. But understand the magnitude of this. The king and his son, and keeping in mind, though, that the son of a king, depending on whether it's firstborn, second, and third or so, stands to inherit the kingdom at the death of the king. So keep that in mind. And here is David, who God had anointed to be king. So Saul's son, Jonathan, knew that David was going to be king at the death of Saul. Even his father, as you read this, Saul even told Jonathan at one point, "Don't you understand that this is the man, David, who is going to sit on the throne, not you?" Now, that's cause to cause somebody to turn against you, don't you think? That's cause to cause Jonathan to say, you know, in this day and age where we live with people who are so greedy and fighting for power. I mean, even the disciples, if you recall, at one point wanted to know who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You remember that? They wanted to know that. So it is a natural tendency of man to want to be up here above everybody else. It's a natural tendency. But when God is doing a work, no one can come between. God uses the son of the king to go and encourage the heart of a young man in the wood who is then going to be king when the father of that son is dead. But this is how God works. He works in mysterious ways. So where does faith come in? That's exactly where faith comes in. Because you don't know how God will work. But if you have faith, and you pray to God to ask him to do something for you, and you ask in faith, you ask according to the will of God, God will do it. He's not going to tell us how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. So, David was strengthened, but it's important to understand and to note what is written here. Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. Stay in 1 Samuel. Let's go to chapter 30. Chapter 30. And we'll read from verse 1. Chapter 30, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Understand this. Oh, well, let me pause here for a minute. You read with me what took place. But what I want to emphasize is this. Verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. So because someone has faith in God, does not mean that that person doesn't feel suffering and pain. He's a human being. The people along with him, they were human beings. So they are crying, they are weeping, they wept so much that they became so weak, they didn't have any more power to weep. But let's take it up from here. Verse 5. And David's two wives were taken captives of Ahimoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, and Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but, the last phrase, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Look at this. They all wept together when they got there and realized that their loved ones were gone. They all wept together. They were weak. They couldn't weep anymore. But look at what happened. And the table turned against David. Now they're thinking of killing David. They're thinking of stoning him because they're saying he's the cause of that. But in spite of all that transpired, what did David do? The last part. But David encouraged himself in his God. He was standing alone. He was standing alone. They stood together before. They all cried together. Then they turned against David. And who did David turn to? David turned to the Lord. Internal encouragement. We had Jonathan giving David external encouragement. Now we have David in a time of distress giving himself internal encouragement. And what did he do? The next verse. He's now going to pray in verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, inquiring here meaning he's praying to God. And this is what he said in his prayer. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So he just didn't take it on his own to go after them. He's now in distress. He cried to God. And now he prays to God, and he asks God, what shall I do? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And that's exactly what David did. He acknowledged God. He asked God what he should do. God told him what he should do. And it was so. He pursued them, and he overtook. You could read the rest of it for yourself. Let's go to our Psalm 121, please. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Was David in distress? Oh, yes, he was. Let's read 121. Oh, let's look at our 120 first, the first verse. 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Was David in distress? Yes. What did he do? He cried unto the Lord. And what did the Lord do? The Lord heard him. That simple. That simple. Now let's go down to 121. First verse. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Let's stop. We could spend a whole lesson on this, and one of these days, with God's help, I will do that. The first verse, depending on how you read it, could be misleading. The first verse. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. We could spend a long time on that. But I will suffice it to say that the psalmist is not saying here that he will lift his eyes up onto the hills. The hills cannot help anybody. There are many people who have given a lot of explanations for that, and I haven't seen any explanation that really unfolds this whole thing, but I'll leave that for now. But verse 2, he answers the question. He says in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So that's good enough for us now. Chapter 120, verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Chapter 21, Psalm 21, verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Did David realize that? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And we'll stop here. The key is, our help comes from God. Demonstration of David, in such dire situations, who did he turn to? God. Who do we turn to? We turn to God. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. It is extremely important for us as we walk this Christian life, as we seek to serve God on this earth. It is so important, it cannot be overstated. The psalmist said in one psalm, it says, evening, morning and evening would I pray. What time I am afraid, the psalmist said, I will trust in the Lord. That's all we will do today. That's all the Lord will have us to do. We just want to sing a song in closing, and that will be number 278. Again, if you're not saved, as I appealed to you earlier, you can ask the Lord to come into your heart and to save you, to make you a new person, so that you can withstand the problems of life. You can encourage yourself in the Lord once you know him. The first verse of this song says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We just read in the song that even with the winds and the rains, the Lord is in the midst of them. And the reason why the Lord was able to stem the tide. If you recall, there was a time when he was in a boat with his disciples, and the wind and the waves were raging, and they cried to the Lord, and they said, Master, carest not that we perish? And he said to the waves, peace, be still. That's the peace that we have. That's the peace that we read about in Philippians. The peace of God. He will keep our hearts and our minds stayed on him, because he is the Prince of Peace. 278, please, as we close. Shall I just close in prayer, and then we'll sing it after, okay? Let me just close in prayer, please. Our Father, we are so thankful that we have thy word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank thee, our Father, for thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for all that he has done for us, is doing, and will continue to do. Again, we give thee thanks for everyone in thy presence. As we leave here, our Father, we pray that we will go with our minds renewed in the fact that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, and that He is a present help in time of trouble. May we always remember that, and may we always pray to Him, the same way we read of David praying to Him, and He said, and He heard me. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And we know that those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we cry, the Lord will hear us. And even those who are not saved, if they cry for mercy and ask the Lord for forgiveness of their sins, the Lord will hear them, and they too will become Christians. We give thee thanks now for thy goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 278, please.
Anchor fast by the heavenly shore with the storm.